Jambase is pleased to present Clusterflies, a covers compilation reimagining Phish's album Farmhouse, bonus songs, and revamped tracklist. The limited edition 3LP release was mastered by engineer Joe Lampert and includes custom artwork and a poster created by longtime Phish collaborator Jim Pollock. A pre-order is underway now through May 3rd at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Visit www.clusterflies.com for purchasing information as well as full album credits and tracklist details. Among the artists who recorded Phish covers for Clusterflies were Umphreys McGee's, Brendan Bayless, Club Delph, Daniel Donato, Sylvan Esso, Chris Forsyth, Neil Francis, Jennifer Hartswick, Amy Helm, Lindsay Liu, Reed Mathis, White Denims, James Petrolli, Strand of Oaks, Sadler Vaden, Vetiver, William Tyler, Riley Walker, and a supergroup led by Tim Palmieri. Each of the songs on Clusterflies will be featured via daily episodes of the Jambase podcast, with interviews with the musicians that recorded the cover. This episode features Driver, which was covered for Clusterflies by Vetiver.
We are going to be talking about Driver, the first of five tracks not released on Farmhouse that have made their way onto our release, Clusterflies. A studio recording of Driver was, however, included on the Japanese release of Farmhouse, along with another additional track, Mountains in the Mist. Now, all right, you're going to have to indulge me in a personal remembrance here, of which I'm sure there will be a few of these next couple of weeks, but I need to briefly talk about the event where Driver first debuted, the Bridge School Benefit. Notably, how amazing it was, and how much I miss it. For those of you who don't know, I'm just going to quote from the Wikipedia entry here. The Bridge School Benefit was an annual charity concert usually held in Mountain View, California, every October at the Shoreline Amphitheater from 1986 until 2016, with the exceptions of 1987 and 1988. The concerts lasted the entire weekend and were organized by musicians Neil Young and Peggy Young. An annual Bay Area highlight, the concerts were billed online as the primary means of funding for the Bridge School. Over both days, the reserve seats alone brought in well over $1 million every year. Now, I moved to the San Francisco Bay Area in 2010, and while I lived there, I attended every instance of the Bridge School Benefit, six of them to be exact, until its final year in 2016. And let me tell you, they were just so special. It was all for such a great cause. There were marathons of concerts. They lasted all day, and they always ran super late. Neil Young would sit in with practically every artist on the bill, and everyone is forced to play acoustic, even if you're Metallica. Now, I don't know what it is about the Bridge School Benefit, but it was like every artist treated their set list like it was a Phish set list. It was the norm for artists to play songs that they hadn't played in years, or debut new material, or play a Neil Young cover for the first time ever. I don't know if it was a memo they circulated to artists or just something that happened organically, but even just from a strict setlist geekery standpoint, the Bridge School Benefit was always just bust out central. Sadly, there has not been a Bridge School Benefit since 2016. Neil Young and his late wife Peggy went through a rather public divorce, and the event just didn't seem to survive too much longer after that happened. Peggy sadly passed away a few years ago after a battle with cancer. So while she has seen her last Bridge School Benefit, part of me hopes there will be another one someday, as the music and the event was always just pure magic. I know Trey recently mentioned he was interested in throwing a similar event, perhaps at SPAC in Saratoga, and even name-checked Jason Isbell as one of the first artists he would reach out to be on the bill, since Jason, like Trey, has gotten sober after battling addiction. And hey, those are two of my favorite living artists. So you know I'd go see that. I hope that happens, and I also hope the Bridge School Benefit returns someday. Anyway, Let's take the time machine back to Phish's one and only appearance at the Bridge School Benefit over the course of two magical nights back in 1998. As I mentioned, artists typically bring their A-game for constructing a unique set list for their appearance at the Bridge, so you know Phish was going to. The first night saw Phish debut three songs, Sleep, the only ever Phish performance of Never, and Driver. First night also saw some a cappella with the performance of both Carolina and Freebird, and those are especially awesome too, because if you've ever been, or if you watch a video of the Bridge School Benefit shows, one of the many great little touches on the evening is that the students of the Bridge School, many of whom are in wheelchairs, line the back of the stage on risers, having the best seats in the house. Phish took notice of this, and for their a cappella numbers, they performed facing the back of the stage, performing directly at the children and their families, while the paying customers happily looked at their backs for a few minutes. Come to think of it, Trey would reprise this love of performing facing the back of the stage for the Beacon Jams. That first night also featured Neil Young joining the band out of a Harry Hood jam that segued into Helpless, which is quite a logical segue as both the Hood Jam and Helpless use three simple chords of D, A, and G. But not this night. They played Helpless in the key of C, actually. So they had to go C, G, F. So the greatest jam progression ever of D, A, G into the best song ever written with those chords was not to be that day, as the Hood Jam was in D and Helpless was in C. Following its debut at the Bridge School, Driver was immediately frequent in the rotation all through the band's fall tour in 98, always played by Trey on his acoustic guitar. The band would frequently, but not always, pair its appearance in the set alongside another number where Trey would play the acoustic guitar. Sometimes that would be Sleep or Bittersweet Motel, a cover of Neil Young's Albuquerque, perhaps. By the summer of 99, Trey's keyboard was in and his acoustic guitar was out. And maybe it was the lack of the acoustic or just regular setlist variants, but Driver was also played with far less frequency, with just two versions played in 1999, both with Trey on electric guitar.
I'll tell you about the driver who lives inside my head.
The two major tours of 2000 saw Driver return more frequently to the rotation, and it also saw the band start to favor the combination of Driver being played immediately after the In-Law Josie Wales. Surprisingly, those three versions all still featured Trey on the electric guitar, despite him picking up an acoustic guitar for the preceding performances of In-Law. Yes, the acoustic seems like it was just ditched, though there has been one version of Driver played acoustically since at the band's acoustic set November 1st, 2009 at the Empire Polo Club in Indio, California. That was the third night of the band's aptly titled 8th Music Festival, Festival 8, and the first set, which was completely acoustic. There supposedly was free coffee and donuts for that set. I saw some photographic evidence, but I don't actually know anyone who got a donut, but I was there, and I could have used some of that coffee. That was a really fun set, complete with wacky mixed messages from the stage on if we all should be sitting or standing.
I don't know if anybody feels like sitting down in this hot sun, but we're gonna. I would never suggest anybody doing anything, but if you feel like sitting, you can sit on that glorious grass out there. Stand up, stand up. I'm sitting. Okay, sure you don't want to sit down, huh? Last time I'll say it. We're going to be playing a lot of mellow tunes here. So. You know, there you go. Ah, the people in the back sitting down. There is the ticket. Give it a try. See, it's something different. I've never played to a sitting down fish crowd before. Cool. Look at that.
Wow.
I don't know what you guys in the front are going to do, but wow. Ah, it's hot. See, there you go. Awesome. Is that better? I hope I... Actually, it could work as if, then if you want to stand up, you could like go into the back and blah, blah, blah. Before I do the next part of the song, I have to tell you a very funny story because it's on my mind. I'm about to walk on stage, and not one, but two people on our crew come up to me and say, "You've got to tell everybody to sit down." And I'm like, "Are you sure?" And they said, "Yes." And I'm saying, "Are you sure?" And then I said, "Yes, yes, yes," because everybody wants to sit down. And I'm walking towards the stage, and I say again to this guy, I say, "Are you sure you want me to say that? Because I really don't like telling people what to do." And they're like, "Yes, you'd be doing me a favor, go on." So I come on and I say that. And then everybody sits down, everybody says, I was sitting here thinking, I hate sitting down. I'm like ADHD, I can't stand still. And I can't fucking believe I just told everybody to do that. So anyway, I'm now standing up. I'm sorry. Yeah. So then I say, blap, boom, blippy boom, blippy boom.
Set also had what we call a first set encore, and that's actually where the driver came. Talk about your setlist schematic gymnastics. The band encored their first set, then played two more sets and an encore. What a band. There's a pattern you can see in the song Driver Comes directly after that's just a little too frequent to ignore. Between 2003 and 2010, 4 out of the 8 versions of Driver came directly after the song Maze. Maybe there's something about the funny little ending to Maze that immediately makes Trey think Driver would be a good next song. Or perhaps it's that Maze talks about the voice inside of you repeating a phrase, and Driver seems like a good pairing because it's about the machine inside your head that makes all your decisions for you. Perhaps it's your driver that has taken you on the wrong path in Maze and has left you embarrassed with failure. Whatever it is, a bit of a pattern there, but it's gone away. There's been no more Maze driver combos to speak of in the past decade. In fact, Driver was played with less and less frequency in the 2010s, living a rather sparse existence on the Fish stage, often disappearing for 50 or even 100 plus shows at a time. A true testament to how massive Fish's repertoire has become of late, adding albums worth of new material, not to mention Fish's takes on the chilling, thrilling sounds of the Haunted House songs, the Casfot Vox songs, the Ghosts of the Forest songs, and it shows no signs of slowing down. When Fish can play live again, they're going to have a huge batch of songs that Trey released on his album Lonely Trip to incorporate into the set list, and who knows what else. Let's hope we're not always waiting 100 shows for Driver, though, because I think it's a damn good song. Something that has evolved of late is the key that Driver is played in when performed with Fish. From 1998 to 2003, Driver sat squarely in the key of G. But when Fish reunited in 2009, they brought with them a driver that was up 3 half steps and played in the key of B flat. Well, this is Fish we're talking about here, so it's normally been played in B flat. They had played 6 versions in a row in B-flat, and then after not playing the song for 18 months, it's back in 2012, the band played it again in G. But I think someone may have forgotten to give Mike the memo, as there's a little confusion at the beginning. I think you can hear Paige play a quick chord to figure out what key they are playing it in, and Mike seems to think we're still in B-flat at first. Adding even more to that confusion, Driver was played again at New Year's Eve later that year in 2012, and the band actually has to restart the song, and you can hear them discussing the key confusion on the soundboard recording. Classic Fish. They knew they were going to play Driver, as it was part of a golf theme at that year's show. Driver is such a simple song, they probably thought, we don't need to practice it. Then you get on stage, and you realize you don't know what key it's in. Like I said, classic Fish, and the difficulties of managing such a massive repertoire.
Let's start that again.
you. Thank you. Thank you. We wrote that song.
What's that?
Got it. Thank you.
In 2013, the band seems to be purposely working on their arrangement. The version at the Bill Graham Civic Auditorium in August of 2013 is noticeably faster than any other version of Driver, clocking in at 80 beats per minute when Fish typically plays it closer to 70 beats per minute. This version also featured a nice solo from Page on one of his electric keyboards. I sometimes have a hard time telling the Rhodes from the Wurlitzer. It's one of those, and I don't want to get it wrong. Whatever it was, it sounded like no other version of Driver Fish has ever played.
Hoping when I get there, I'll be better dressed. Keeps my eyes open for most of the day. Adds to my memories the things that people say. When he makes decisions, I don't have to wait.
Either displeased with the attempt at a slight rearrangement, or just because that's the way things go, it would be almost 3 years before Fish would play Driver again. This time at the Gorge, and this time in now another different key. Fish played Driver in C at the Gorge in 2016, and it obviously sounded like they had run through it a few times. It really sounds like a different song hanging out all the way up in C. It's a full fourth away from how it was recorded in the studio and played in the late 90s.
Tell you about the driver who lives inside my head. Starts me up and stops me and puts me into bed. He opens up my mouth when it's time for me to talk. It fires up my legs when he wants me to walk. Keeps my eyes open for most of the day. Adds to my memories the things that people say.
And just like that, the last three versions since then, we've heard Driver back in its old, new key of B flat. You'd think Driver would be one Trey would play all the time at solo acoustic shows. It seems like a song that lends itself to that format, but it's far from a mainstay and generally speaking only played a handful of times per solo Trey Anastasio acoustic run. And in case you were wondering, over there, without the confines of a band, he can put his capo wherever he wants, so sometimes he'll play it in A or B flat or B. When it's just you, there's no worry about what key your bass player thinks the song is in. Just throw on a capo wherever you feel like it and sing us that song about how we hope we'll be better dressed in the next life.
That brings an end to this episode of the Jambase Podcast's Clusterfly series. Be sure to visit Jambase to hear Vetiver's cover of Fish's Driver and visit www.clusterflies.com to purchase your copy of Clusterflies today.